my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. You are the I pray, change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you.
Amen. Everybody said, it's a powerful request to ask of God to change your heart. Because when you meet Christ, you're never the same again anyway. But when you ask Him to change your heart, He will totally renovate your heart. And His kingdom comes. I want to read a little note here in blessing to our youth, as well as to the church. And here this morning, this is from World Vision, the 30-hour famine and our kids and all the donations. It just simply says, and from their heart, we're so grateful for your church's generosity during the World Vision's 30-hour famine. Together, your students and congregants' efforts are helping to feed vulnerable children around the world, kids who are loved and valued by God. I hope the 30-hour famine lets you see how God can work through young people to lead His church in caring for people in need. After all, He can work in people's hearts and lives to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. So our hearts are grateful for our youth and for all as we serve the Lord together. Together. Yeah. Did you want to go on? You can go over there. And so, opening up your Bibles, we are in Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. Oh, here we have another one. This was found last week, and now we're here with the Kozer family again. Pray for Tyler Kozer. Tyler will be reporting for basic training in the Air National Guard in Texas on May 18th. This is the Kozer's grandson, all right? Tyler, reporting for basics there on the 18th this week. So keep him in your prayers, okay? In the Air National Guard. Are you there in Exodus chapter 32? Exodus 32. This is being grumpy here this morning. So it is. Well, we know we're transitioning because let us just do. Here we go, dear ones. Oh, I've got to turn this on. I'm okay. Here we go. Praise the Lord. Okay. Who's on the Lord's side? Praise Jesus. You better be in that. This is a tremendous passage. So we're going to read the passage, and as we look at this great question and statement, it's kind of like one in two from God to Moses, Moses to the children of Israel. And Moses, he is up on the mountain with God and receiving all these instructions, tablets of stone, commandments, what have you, laws, orders. And what is taking place here actually begins back in chapter 24 when God calls Moses up to the mount. And then, you know, takes Joshua with him and a few others, and it is a very powerful time. He's been up there 7 days before God talks to Moses. 7 days. Now, during the 6 days, try to get the picture. Try to get the picture. And up there on Mount Sinai, and God is close. And as the Almighty is close, and the thickness and the darkness, and, you know, it says about in Revelation about flashes of lightning and so on around the throne. And, you know, when Moses is up there with God, just try to imagine as Moses knew God face to face. So there's a real closeness here. And we know as Moses came down off of the mountain, then his face just shone and people couldn't even look at him. And that was at another time in the meeting and outside there in the one tent. But a tremendous time. And so while it only takes 6 days for the people to grow weary, get frightened, go wayward in their heart. This is when the golden calf was made. In 6 days, their leader departs, goes to the mountain, and they bless him as he goes. He's slow in coming back. 6 days, friends? So you know how the story goes. They approach Aaron, what's going on? And make us a calf that we may worship. He says, give me your gold. Give me your earrings. Give me all your trinkets. And they make the golden calf. So let's begin reading here, chapter 32. And we're going to begin at verse number 15. Moses turned and went down from the mountain. Well, first of all, a few verses earlier, God says, you better get back down there. It's a mess down there. It's a mess down there. What does the Lord think when he looks at his church? The church whom he purchased with his own blood. Is the Lord pleased with his church? You know, this past Thursday was Ascension Sunday. And we know that when the Lord ascended, he gave the great command, go, my people, go, preach, teach, win them unto me, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Holy Ghost, and then mentor them, disciple them. Are we doing that? Verse 15, and Moses turned and went down from the mountain, and the two tablets of the testimony were in his hand. The tablets were written on both sides, on one side and on the other side they were written. And now the tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, well, there's noise of war in the camp. But he said, no, it is not the noise of the shout of victory, nor the noise of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear. And so it was, as soon as he came near the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot. He cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder. And he scattered it on the water and made the children of Israel drink it. Do you think they feared Moses? Absolutely, they feared Moses. And besides, Moses had just spent a week with God alone up in the mountain. And the righteous indignation coming forth from Moses was powerful. He takes the calf, he burns it, he grinds it. He says, "Here, you want this so deeply, you drink it." Wow. And Moses said to Aaron, "What did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them?" And so Aaron said, "Do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people, and they are set on evil. For they said to me, 'Make us gods that shall go before us.' As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." And I said to them, "Whoever has any gold, let him break it off." And so they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire, and this calf came out. Now when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had not restrained them, to their shame among their enemies. And then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp, and he said, "Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. And he said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let every man put on his sword on his side. Let every man put his sword on his side and go in and out from the entrance to entrance throughout the camp. And every man his companion and every man his neighbor." So the sons of Levi did, according to the word of Moses. And there were about 3,000 men of the children of Israel that were slain that day. And Moses said, "Now consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, that he may bestow on you a blessing this day. For every man has opposed his son and his brother." God bless the reading of his word to our hearts. As always with God's word, there's so much richness here in this passage we just read. Words that would strike us, not as just being archaic words to a people long ago, but are resounding to us today in that how the children of Israel sinned against the Lord and how bad the testimony was to their enemies. So you quickly make an application to today, that when you and I, known by others as a Christian, and yet our hearts, like their hearts, continually being set on evil, so easily drawn aside, so easily we commit sin, so easily we disobey the Lord, and the enemies of God today make jolly with it. The testimony of our life, the testimony of this church, the testimony of every church, every local gathering, the testimony of a family of God. And when the family, when the individuals, when we disobey God, and this is what happens. And so we find here that just so much going on, and to the shame of Aaron, and he did not restrain them. So it was a severe lack of leadership there to the children of Israel. But bear in mind, Aaron is not Moses. And they sure didn't come hard against Moses when he said, you drink it. You wanted it, you drink it. And so we find the Lord is serious. We get caught up so much, perhaps, today in thinking that what was written in the Old Testament was only for then and not for now. In bearing in mind always the Old Testament, what is concealed there is revealed in the New. What is hidden is explained. What is said, Christ affirms. What is declared in the Old, Christ decrees it. And we find many occasions and examples as we go back and forth among the Testaments. And we find there where the golden calf, and consecrate yourselves today, and being holy as unto the Lord, as the chapter also declares. Well, then you go into 1 Peter, and the Word of God says to be holy as I am holy. Consecrate yourselves, cut off from every known thing and anything at all that God told the people. Moses tells them in the Old Testament. And Jesus, he says, consecrate yourselves. He says, mutilate the sin in your life. It goes back and forth the whole way. And so that when you study your Bibles, people, and know that what you're reading in the Old Testament, search for the example of it in the New Testament. And what you read in the New Testament, go back here and do the cross-referencing. It'll enlighten you. It'll excite you as you study your Bible. And know that when people say we have no need for the Old Testament anymore, but we do. And how that when you read about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in the New Testament, his blood shed on the cross, well, and the grace as the result of that, well, it was still grace in the Old Testament. As God gave the laws and the ceremonies and the sacrifices and the blood, and the people were faithful in performing these sacrifices, and God accepted the purity of their sacrifices, and thereby bestowing grace upon them in the forgiveness of their sins. And it's the totality of the scriptures. You know how the Messiah was prophesied in the Old Testament, and it was fulfilled in the New Testament. And you read in the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel, about that which is going to all come to pass and is unfolded in the book of Revelation. And so you study your Bibles together, old and new, and you find here what God says here. And the priests, the Levites, they're the ones that answered the call. The pastors, the preachers, the believers. This is a very sad commentary here. 3,000 men died because of no allegiance unto God. Imagine their families. The children of God, Christians in the New Testament. Now, we are a kingdom of priests unto God. We're His. And so when God asked the children of Israel, who's on the Lord's side? And He asks us today, who truly is on the Lord's side? And what is the response to that? There are only two sides, friends. There are only two sides. In that, on the Lord's side or Satan's side. Jesus said here in Matthew, anyone who isn't with me opposes me. And anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. Who is on the Lord's side? We declare it. We're going to be on the Lord's side. We declare it when we call out to God for salvation. And we know His justification upon our lives, the cleansing, the power of His blood upon our sins. We know this. we experience this as we journey and fight against the evil and the sin in our life and engaged and we know his sanctifying work. We declare we are on Christ's side. We declare we are his as we walk into the waters of baptism. And buried in under the waters in the likeness of his death and raised in the very likeness of his resurrection. And we go on to serve him. And we serve the Lord and with gladness. So it is a most remarkable thing that all that the children have been through, and in 6 days' absence of their leader, this is what has happened. We like to sing it in some of our songs, as we sang this morning. Oh, hail the power of Jesus' name. Are they true words from our hearts as we sing them? We sing, you're the potter, I am the clay, change me. And we continue on and we sing, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me, shape me after your will. Change my life. And as we grow in this day, in this culture, in the time, on God's timetable on which we are in, to be solid on the Lord's side, to think seriously in the day in which it we are, and following of Christ. And we publicly confess our love in our allegiance as we read there in Psalm 119, I delight to do your will. So many, many probing questions here that come to us by this one simple call. Who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? Now, when you talk about the side, you know, side, you're side by side with Christ, and we know how it is to be side by side with those that we love, or a comrade as working together, serving together, fighting in the military together, side by side. Who is on the Lord's side? And how close the Apostle John was to the Lord as he leaned on the Lord's side, leaned on his breast on the very last night they were together. Who was on the Lord's side? And there are great benefits in the life that when we are walking humbly before God and walking with God, walking for God, and the blessedness that is ours. When we are on the Lord's side, and when it's talking about intimacy and fellowship and communion with him. And people say, you know, how do I know God's will? Set your eyes, your heart, to know Jesus. And he will unfold for you his will. Because when you're on the Lord's side, when you're walking with Christ, he reveals, he communicates, he teaches the vision in your life. He teaches it. He leads you. He talks to you. And we need not to marvel and wonder what it is. Now, get your Bibles flowing. And go back to Genesis in chapter 13. Genesis 13. And he communicates the vision. And even in this lesson this morning, you'll see how the Old Testament is so real for today. In the value of walking in closeness with Christ. And yet, to stop and to say that there can be no walking close with Christ, but unless that you are born again in Christ, and that is where you begin, and then to press on with that. It's not like that their floor shine bottle, that stuff it's called once and done, and like, you know, you just do it, okay, I got saved, and I guess I'll get baptized, and I got that out of the way, and I just go on, and because I've got a good old fire insurance here for eternity. No, that's not the way it is. That's a very false and misled understanding of the Word of God and what it means to be born again in Christ, what the waters of baptism mean, what it means, as Paul says, I am a dead man walking, what it means that it is no longer me that lives, but God that lives in me. Christ lives in me. The Spirit of God is there, and here I go. But to serve the Lord and walk with him. In Genesis here in chapter 15, as we begin here, verse number, or I'm sorry, 13. And this is God and Abraham. God and Abraham, Genesis 13, beginning there at verse number 14. You want to go back to 12. And the Lord spoke to him. He spoke to him. We're chapter 12, verse number 7. God has taken Abram, up to the top of the mountain and shows him. He shows him the land that he will certainly possess. And the Lord appeared to Abram, verse 7, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord. And so Abram journeyed going onward still south. And there was a great famine in the land. And now go to chapter 13. And we find here chapter 13 verse number 14. And now the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, he says, Abram, now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and to your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if any man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land, through its length and its width, for I give it to you. And then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron. And there he built an altar unto the Lord. This is a verse of vision for Abraham, and so it is in your life, in my life. He will communicate to you and give you the vision for your life. You draw near unto the Lord, and by the grace of God, leading a life of a repentant heart, a life that is pure and holy unto the Lord, confessing daily your sins and desiring Christ above anything else and above everything else in your life. If you are on the Lord's side truly, and he will communicate to you the vision. Now, this was a very extensive view that Abram received. And at this particular place, there was no other place that will give such a view of what would become the promised land that Joshua would then lead the children of Israel through. So it was a powerful thing. And God said to Abram, this is what it's going to be. This is where you're going to go. Right now, it's just really a bunch of desert and stuff. But it's going to be a beautiful land. And this is for you and your descendants who will be as numberless as the dust of the earth. The vision for your life as you walk with the Lord. Now go to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 9. Joshua 1. It's right after Deuteronomy. And we read here 1 through 9, and so we transition all the way from Abraham, from Abram, and all the things that has happened in there, and then we have, you know, the Red Sea and the whole nine yards and the 40 years in the wilderness, and here we go. It's time to go into the promised land. And now Moses has died, a strong man, by the way, and now it is here Joshua. And after the death of Moses, verse 1, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all his people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. In every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and from the Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, going down of the sun, it shall be your territory, and no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Be strong of good courage, For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance to the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong, be very courageous, that you may observe to do according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. And you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage, and do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The great commandment of God and the assurance, as you walk in your fellowship with the Lord and you conquer for Christ, he says, keep in your Bibles. Go into all the nations, preach the gospel. They will not be able to withstand you. Do not let the word of God depart from your heart and from your mouth. Read it, study it. You're not going to know God's will for your life. You're not going to know God's will for the church or for anything. But unless you're in the scriptures, unless you are in bathing in prayer and leading a life disciplined unto the Lord, and he will honor you and bless you wherever you go. And I'm sure this must have been a powerful encouragement to the children of Israel as they were ready to go into the promised land. This is what they had heard about and for generations, and all the stories that go clear back to Abram and coming up through, and now 40 years of wilderness, the people that didn't believe, that generation that was older, and now it's the younger generation, and they got a new leader, and Joshua was called. He was the military leader. And in they go, and they have received this word from God, you will succeed. They will not be able to withstand you. The Hittites, they occupied the majority of the promised land, and they were a powerful people. They will not be able to withstand you. You walk in the name of the Lord. Just do not let the word of God depart from your mouth. Lead your life in the scriptures, in the word, in prayer, and consecrate it unto the Lord. He is the Lord and your love of your life. And not only that, but he'll define the task. And in Matthew 28, these great words that we just made mention of on Ascension Day, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Teach people. Reach them for me. That is our task. Now flow over there to Luke 24. Luke 24. And we're here in verses 44 through 53. And this is Luke's account of it, the same event. And Luke 24, beginning at verse number 44. And he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And the reason he says the law, the prophets, and the Psalms, that was the three Jewish divisions of the Old Testament. And how amazing this is, you know. So if we didn't have the Old Testament, when you read this here verse, you go, what in the world are we talking about here? And so back and forth, as Jesus, he just expounds upon the Old Testament. He opened their understanding that they may comprehend the scripture. Now, I'd like to wonder what all took place right there in verse 45. He opened their understanding as he prayed to the Father, and what took place there, and immediately their understanding is opened. And so he said, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witness of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, lifted up his hands, and he blessed them. It now came to pass that while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And I put a notation in my Bible, and I hope that you will too, and just write in here Psalm 24, for lift ye, you know, be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And this was the Lord himself on that day of ascension, as the mission as God had called him to do was complete now in this earth, And for his part of it, he now ascends to the throne of God, is interceding for the church. And he gave us the commission to go out. Go on over to Acts in chapter 1. Acts in chapter 1 and verse number 7. Where he said, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put into his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." And now when he had spoken these things, they watched. He was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, and as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." And so they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And we find the account in the Gospels and right here in, as well as Luke, as he writes in the book of Acts, about the ascension of Christ and being endued with power. Well, that is the next event to happen here on the timetable as we study this morning, and that would be the day of Pentecost, which Pentecost Sunday is next Sunday. And so the events, and you find Jesus going back and forth here, and the very power, the very glory of the Lord. You know, your glorified Lord is coming back again. He says it right there. He's coming back, guys. Get about his business. He's coming back. We don't know when it is, but he has set us a commission and a job to do and a work for the glory of his kingdom. And you know, I wonder if anybody, how many really realize this is the mission. This is the mission statement of the Green Spring First Church of God. You all, as members, should have somewhere in your house a copy of the Constitution and the bylaws. And right there in the very first page, toward the top, third item, this is the mission statement of this church. Those who are members, this is your mission statement. And it comes right out of Matthew 28. To proclaim Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world until he returns. To love and to nurture unbelieving people into fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. That is our mission statement. This is what we're about. We don't just come together on a Sunday morning to enjoy each other and to hear from the Word, in love, worshiping together our Lord, but our hearts are nourished, our hearts are instructed. We come in to be refreshed because we have been in prayer, we have been laboring, we've been fighting the fight personally, we've been warring for the souls of others, we have been talking to others, and wherever God has, however he has talented you and blessed you and sends you, there's your mission field. Use it for the glory of Christ. And as you're faithful in every opportunity, he'll continue to lead you while he continues to grow your heart. And it comes a time in your life when he begins to talk to you about it. It's time to make a major change here in your life. You're no longer going to be working and laboring where you are now, but I desire a greater plan for you. And it was my purpose for you from the very beginning. And now in your faithfulness, you're going to realize your plan. So you continue to talk with God, you begin to walk with God, you continue that, and as you're faithful to him, your heart's growing, your love is deepening, and you just have a fervor for God, and as the psalmist says, my heart just pants for you. You are the greatest thing in all of my life. My life is nothing apart from you. And so you press on in Christ, and he sends you out, you make the transition, the change in your life, you make it gladly. And you make it whatever God is calling you to do. It's time to, you know, put the old clothes away. And the day came when no longer am I going to be a dairy farmer. So the cows, love you, but goodbye. You know, big red tractors, here you go. And the land, that's what you really miss, is the land. The land. But it's a whole change. And that night, 3 o'clock in the morning at the cornfield in the first week of June, where God powerfully, yet gently, won me over and settled the issue in my heart. He says, I know you'll serve, but you don't have to come away with me. I don't? No. But if you want to know my kingdom plan for you, and you have been with me, and your family's been with me, it's now time to move on. It's time to move on. Because this world is not your home. And we moved on. And it brings us to today where we are. So you follow the Lord. You're on the Lord's side, fulfilling the mandate. The mandate wasn't just for the moms last week and how they raised their kid. This is the mandate to every born-again believer in Jesus Christ. The first thing that I do, the ultimate thing, everything in my life, wherever I'm called, whatever I'm doing, to make a living and what have you, I am proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. I'm sharing it with my peers. I'm willing to be counted for the Lord. If they mock me, fine. If they receive Christ, hallelujah. But this is where we are. Who is on the Lord's side? And so he also then supplies the power. And he who is all power comes near and supplies everything you need. He comes upon you. It's a mysterious thing because he lives in you, but he just comes upon you in a powerful way, and he manifests and he empowers you to do the kingdom work, which only he can do through you. You and I, in our flesh, cannot do the kingdom work. These bodies we employ in obedience to the Spirit of God as he does his work through you and I. How many times did Jesus, did he instruct his disciples, and did he also tell the prophets in the Old Testament, don't try to figure out what you're going to say, just go, open your mouth, I'll put in the words. I will bring them here. There's going to be words that are actually going to come from your heart, because from the heart the mouth speaks unto Christ. The fullness of the heart. So as you are following Christ, loving on him, being enriched in his word, being bathed in prayer, and being faithful and obedient to every little opportunity that you can, as you're growing in the Lord, you're growing in the Lord, you continue to increase in the knowledge and the wisdom of God, your heart is getting fuller, your life is getting richer in the very likeness of Christ, and it just continues on. And you open your mouth, and he says, I will use you to my glory. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And just like we read there in Luke 24. And so go now to John in chapter 14. John in chapter 14. And we just make some comments here in John 14 and 15. As we began this morning about intimacy with Christ, abiding with Christ, being on the Lord's side. And this tremendous chapters here, John 14, 15, 16, 17. And it begins, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I am going to my Father in heaven. I can prepare a powerful eternity, glorious eternity, in which you will rest from your labors here. You will rest here. And so he just says here, abiding in Christ. Verse 12, greater works than you will do greater works than I do. And the thing of it is that puzzled me for just such a long time. And how can I do greater works than Christ? Well, he is the Lord. And what he's referring to here, that when you and I are subjected to the Lord, we are obedient unto the Lord, when we are consecrating ourselves to the Lord, and we make him truly Lord of our life, and we're following him, it's a miraculous and a wonderful thing how God uses a person to do his kingdom work. He is the Lord. He's depending on you and I. He's seated on the throne of glory. And you know, just abide in me. Abide in me as I abide in you. Look on over in chapter 15, verse number 7. Right down, it starts in verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Are you on the Lord's side? It's just staying close with the Lord and enjoying his covering, his covenant promise, his covenant promise to you. That's his covering over you, and to lead you in his work, in his will, and in his way, and to walk and follow with the Lord. If you abide in me, verse 7, and my words abide in you. How are you going to get his words but unless you're in the word? All right, and my words abide in you. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be given you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you need to go on and read chapters 15 and 16 and 17. Just start at 14 and go right on through. It's about being on the Lord's side. He supplies the power. He supplies the power. Now go to Philippians in chapter 2. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians chapter 2. And you're going to be there in verses 12 and 13. And this follows here in this chapter the powerful, famous verses about the humility of Christ becoming flesh. He humbled himself, became obedient unto death, and even the death on the cross. In verse 11 says, verse 10 says, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth, then that every tongue should confess Jesus Christ as Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Going forth with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, look at the transition, number 12. Therefore, what do you mean therefore? When you see a therefore, you go back and read again what was just before that. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. Whoa! What happened when Moses was away for 6 days? And now Jesus, through Paul. And Paul says, while I'm with you, yeah, you really serve the Lord. Now in my absence. I mean, how it just quickly takes you back. Well, this also happened to Moses. And now Paul's gone. He says, press on in the Lord. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. When you are abiding in Christ and you are on the Lord's side, you working out your salvation with fear and trembling. You're fighting a good fight of faith. You're fighting and warring against sin in your life every day. You're fighting for the glory of God, the salvation of Christ in the lives of others. You're being a stand-up man, a stand-up woman, a stand-up teen, a stand-up little kid for Christ. For Christ. Working out your salvation in fear and trembling. Working out God's divine calling on your life. Working it out. Blood and sweat and tears. Working it out, saying no where you need to say no, and yes where you need to say yes, and wrestling it out with God and against the forces of evil. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. He's saying, fight a good fight of faith. This is what Paul says to Timothy. Fight a good fight of faith. Fulfill your calling. Fulfill your calling. He's called each and every one of you to be his child, to be his kingdom ambassador. Fulfill your calling. So fast forward. And it might be as soon as today or somewhere, sometime, when you're standing before Christ as a Christian. Will you stand there having fulfilled your calling? Who's on the Lord's side? He supplies all the power. So just see to it that your salvation in Christ is found faithful and is witnessed to others, by others, that you are a child of God and you're on the Lord's side. Work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Well, my dear friends, he communicates the vision, he defines the task, he supplies the power, he gives the victory. Now write these verses down because you need to look them up. But in Acts chapter 14, we find where Paul and the others, as they gather in, we got to read it. Go to Acts chapter 14. Acts 14. And this is what happens in the faithful duty of the Christian's life who's on the Lord's side. Acts chapter 14. They had been preaching, they had been teaching and moving on. And they come here and are now at the 21st verse. They preached the gospel to that city. And they preached and made many disciples. They returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of disciples. See, this is being a disciple of Christ. And that's like another word for mentoring. And so they're preaching the gospel here. They come back to this city and they're coming into the churches that are already established and they're just strengthening the fellow believers. And Strengthening the souls, verse 22, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. My dear friends, if you're not watching the news and watching the world scene and watching the prophecies come to pass and knowing that the return of Christ is soon and knowing that we may go through a lot of tribulations, a lot of trials as born again believers, then you best soon wake up and know that the hardest days are now ahead, and I'm not sure just how far away they are. Things are happening big time on the world scene. You see what's going on in Israel. You see what's going on in money currency around the world. You see what the power and the persuasion that that immoral laws have. The Lord's return is near. Are you prepared to be on the Lord's side? Through it all. And he gives the victory. So when he appointed elders in every church and prayed and fasted, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And after they passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And then when they preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. And from there they sailed to Antioch. And now verse 27, and here's the deal. And when he had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them, and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Wow! That's you and me. Yeah! Through their faithfulness, their obedience, their dedication, their consecration, sold out to God, going all over the place, here, there, and everywhere, preaching the gospel, and God opened up the door to the Gentiles. And because the Gentiles received the gospel, and by the grace of God, we're grafted in as God's people. They told them everything that God had done. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples. So friends, God does all this. Tells you what you're going to do. This is how you're going to live your life. Because you're on his side. He'll detail it. He'll give you the vision. He'll give you the blueprints. He'll give you the plans. He'll give you the details. Be listening. By the Holy Spirit, you have the power to do his work. He gives you the victory as you serve him. You go back to Moses' day, who was on the Lord's side. Turned out to be a very bloody and painful response. Who's on the Lord's side? Do you know, or are you thinking, do you know that you are a child of God, a born again, blood washed, Holy Spirit indwelt child of God, and you are under his covenant? You have call unto Christ, believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth, he is Christ, my Savior. Save me, Jesus. Wash my heart. Make me your child. I give my life, my old life, I toss it away. You go into Philippians chapter 2, chapter 3. It's an old life, and it isn't really worth anything at all. Build for eternity, friends. It's just a brief time and walk it on the Lord's side. My part is to be totally yielded unto the Lord. To be, to do, to go, to do, to be. And you keep that hotline open with God. Walk in humbleness with him. Trust and obey. Keep walking with the Lord. And then that others will know that I'm on the Lord's side. And that is a disciple of Jesus Christ. For he has planted you. Serve him with all your heart. Amen. 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 Heavenly Father, we bless you this morning. We thank you so very much. And God, for your holy word, and for leading us and guiding us and teaching us and challenging us, convicting us and instructing us, God, your word is holy, your word is true, your word is pure. We just love it, Lord, how the old and the new come together. And God, it is one holy word of God. And we will cherish these words in our heart and serve you. And our love be ever more and more pure unto the Lord. And Lord, as we live and lead a very successful kingdom life, oh God, the joys, the rewards, the blessing, the fullness, the richness of heaven is ours. And we'll give you all the praise, all the time, forever. We love you, Lord. Have your way in every heart. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now we are going to sing that song, and now in our hymnals, it is just like four verses, but there are actually five verses, and it is a song of dedication, obedience unto the Lord. Think it while you're singing it. Think it. And really give testimony to it in your life. Let's stand as we sing. Come on. Who is on the Lord's side? The Lord's side.
Savior, we
soldiers in an alien land, chosen, called, and faithful for our captain's band. In the service royal, let us not grow cold. Let us rightly by grace divine, always on the Lord's side, Savior, always thine.
Almighty God, we praise you, we bless you this morning. Thank you because you have come to us this morning. And in your mercy, you minister powerful truths into our hearts that our lives are led right because our heart is right and our mind is right. In truth, we are led in truth. And God, I pray that all of these, your beautiful people, will know the strength and the will, the directives of God in their life, and totally sold out unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, that they will know great gain and as they grow in you, and they will know great victory in work for the kingdom. And know the thrill and the joy of winning a soul to Christ and coming alongside and helping their peers. Lord Jesus, and it's all to your praise and to your glory. God, we thank you. We thank you. Keep us faithful till that day you call us to our rest, to your praise and glory. And together we say, amen, amen. God bless you, church.